Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters are people who are making a huge difference on the planet as the collective faces the shift. And we have with us tonight Salacia, who brings with her the Council of 12. And some of you might have seen that wonderful, there was a wonderful email that came through on the 2009 reconfiguration, which prompted me to call Salacia in the first place. But we're going to get to work and find out what the Council of 12 sees, where Salacia works with them, and what impact we can gain from all this, which we're gaining tremendously, I know. Welcome to the show, Salacia.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. It's great to be here.
I'm very excited about, and I called you because of reading the reconfiguration. It's very exciting. So let's talk first of all about who you are and who are the Council of 12. And then let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty of evolution here.
All right. So I'll simply dive in then.
Perfect.
I'm an author, an intuitive healer, and a teacher. And my focus is on bringing light and awakening to people, to the planet, helping people to remember who they are, to connect with their power, their truth. And the Council of 12 works with me and has through with every lifetime. They are my spiritual family. They are a group of very evolved, non-physical light beings. And they facilitate all of my work, whether I'm doing an interview like this, writing a book, teaching. They work with me. And it's in various different ways.
And you've been doing this your whole life? I mean, in essence, knowing.
In various different ways, yes.
And always consciously aware of them?
Yes, I've been aware of them. I did not know a specific name, but from a very early age, they were speaking to me, working with me. It was really my whole life.
How wonderful. Was your family conscious of it and comfortable with it?
They were not aware on that level, no.
Are they pleased now?
They knew I had connections and so on. I did not have a name for it then.
Aha. And so how long have you been doing these teachings with the Council of 12? Because I see that you have all kinds of, like, you've got global, you've got teleclasses, you've got gatherings, you've got a lot of different ways that you bring these teachings. Have you been doing that for many years?
Yes, I've been doing this since the early 90s.
Wow. Well, what do you think of the shift? Simple question.
Hey? It's really amazing. The shift really is a great change in how we exist here on this planet. It's a big change in how we view ourselves. And it really has been building for quite a long time, really for hundreds of years, but especially in the last two decades, there has been a great acceleration in that shift.
It sure
has. And
that's
why these times are so unique.
It's really exciting, isn't it?
It is.
The only thing is it's a little bit awkward because there's both sides of the coin that are rattling at the same time.
Right. Well, that is part of the challenge in that whenever you have a really big change, and we've had big changes before, whenever we have one of those, since we live in a place of not only free will and choice, but also polar opposites, it is typical that the polar opposites get accentuated and play out more. And so that is what's happening. There is actually a lot more light, and there's a lot more of the other side as well playing out.
Well, do you feel like the, I often see that the universe, everything's picking up speed. Everything's vibrating at a higher and higher level.
Everything is at a higher vibration. Everything is at a higher speed. And yes, time, we will be totally changing our idea of time. When we get to the other side of this.
And is that the 2012 demarcation, according to your group?
I don't look at it certainly not in terms of one date. The 2012 window, I call it, is a span of time. It is not about one date.
And do you think that that's what it's about? Because I often believe, actually, that it's about the frequencies are moving so much that the time-space relationship is different and the calendar couldn't be relevant at that point. Does that make
sense?
Yes,
but also keep in mind that we humans changed calendars some time back. And so some of those early prophecies and those exact dates, even though they lined up in different traditions, they were based on a different kind of calendar than we have now.
Good point.
I point out quite often to people not to get hung up on dates. And that's part of also linear thinking. We're very tied into it's a certain date. It's kind of like that black and white thinking. And we are becoming more and more multidimensional. It does not fit into any calendar.
So how do we consciously acknowledge being multidimensional? Like, how do we feel that in the moment?
It will be felt different ways at different times, and you won't always be aware you're multidimensional. But one way would be, let's say in a given day, you are working on a project, and in the midst of doing this one thing, you're very much getting an idea about perhaps something you're writing. And then another part of you is connecting with something totally different. Some insights about something else, or even an energy that is very, very expansive and is outside of the reference point you might normally have for that thing you're doing. And also another example would be when you meet people. We can no longer look at each other and ourselves the same way. What's happening more and more is you will meet someone, and it is not simply the goosebumps and the aha, I think I knew you before. Sometimes you actually get a sense psychically, intuitively, of the last time you ever saw them. Perhaps it was 400 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things are happening.
So the whole concept of, like, the Cartesian, you know, the linear thinking process, A plus B equals C and all of that stuff is shifting radically, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Isn't that exciting?
That is very exciting.
So let's go back to the email that you sent out, which I thought was wonderful. It's a channeling called the 2009 Reconfiguration, I believe that's what it's called.
Yes, that is an article that I put out from the council last year. And it is about these times. It was about this current year, and it was also leading into the whole idea that is the beginning in a big way of a very big reconfiguration of our entire world.
That is so
exciting.
And that
sounds big.
It's huge.
But there's nothing less than that that will really make this place into the kind of place you and I would want to inhabit. Is that not true?
Yes, it's bringing heaven to earth, isn't it?
Yes, it's bringing it here now.
So can we talk
about... That means much will need to be dismantled.
Now that is a question, yes. How can we help with the dismantle? What can we do? What can people do? I know you have a lot of different concepts here.
One of the things that we can do is to become more conscious of our role and our actions, even in small ways, to realize it's not getting overwhelmed by, for example, looking at the banking industry or all of the other structures that are in the process of being reconfigured and falling away.
Mm-hmm.
It is each person taking their own individual steps to be more conscious, to be more awake. So, for example, with the environment, as one particular idea, it goes beyond thinking in terms of global warming and perhaps saving the rainforest. Those are wonderful concepts, of course. But what can the person do individually in their own way? For example, when they go to the market, do they take a reusable bag?
Right.
There are many simple things like that. It might seem like, well, that isn't much. What if everyone did that?
Mm-hmm.
And what if those small steps went across the planet? It comes down to each one of us to make the changes, to help others see what needs to be changed and help them understand the changes, and to be a true force in this reconfiguration.
But not adversarial as much as proactive.
There's no need for adversarial.
Hmm.
When you approach anything adversarial, you are tearing down. That is not what we want to do. That is not creative.
So what about money? What about the banking systems? How do we approach that?
Number one, by realizing it is much more than about the banks, much more than about the meltdown that happened a little over a year ago. It is about us as individuals and a society. Number one, realizing that we learn to put labels on something that should not have had labels. In other words, we put a lot of labels on this green stuff, the money.
Right.
We made it mean something it does not mean. It is simply an energy exchange. And yes, like time, another thing in our society that at this moment, we would still need a time. Otherwise, you and I could not talk at a certain time, correct?
That's right.
So to have some exchange for our resources, that is something humans invented. So the idea of coming up with money. So it is not that that is bad. It is for us to understand that we've gone beyond that and putting labels on it. And there is a lot of really fear-based ideas that impact the money markets and that impact individuals. And those are at the root of the greed and the imbalances. And really all greed is, if you look at it from a higher spiritual viewpoint, greed, it comes from a place within someone or within a country where they're feeling lack.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the other side of poverty. And it's like a poverty consciousness.
So if they don't, if they don't grab at something, it won't be there.
The idea is that our planet has gotten out of balance.
Mm.
So the money issue is simply one of the big issues we are addressing first. But there are many.
The thing about the money issue, it comes up a lot right now because it is so in our faces. And many people say, well, what do I do? Okay, in this consciousness of being in the moment now and considering my own attitude and approaches, do I go to the bank? Do I use the bank till they come apart? Do I build a bank? You know what I mean? What do we do now?
I would say the kinds of questions you want to ask yourself instead are, what can I do on a daily basis to be more conscious about how I use my resources? And that includes money. It includes time. It includes energy. They're all connected. They're all resources. So, and also for each person to become much more conscious and much more whole in the sense of being able to receive as well as give. There are many strings attached with both for many people. And that on this planet needs a healing. There is nothing wrong with receiving. There is nothing wrong with giving. It is just that, again, these things have gotten out of balance and there are inappropriate labels that have been put on these things.
So you're saying move through yourself and understand where you're coming from.
It always comes back to us as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about blaming anyone. It is not about blaming the banks. It is about each person and each community and each country finding ways to come back into balance, finding ways to really look at values. What is it you value? And what is it perhaps that has gotten out of balance? And for many people in the West especially, and really the United States has led the way in teaching about the use of credit, spending money people do not have, and things like that.
Well, I also read, I think it's in the 2009, I've got so many things I've been reading, but the word success and how we define our success is caught up into that. I really like that.
That is part of the values.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
That is not how we want to define our value or our success, is by how much money we make. That is something in the old paradigm, and it is falling away. So the other thing I would tell people is, if you find in this last year or even recently that you or someone that is very close to you, perhaps your partner, is being adversely affected by the money situation, in other words, you might have lost some money in some investment or perhaps lost a job. What I recommend is utilizing the opportunity, utilizing it for your growth, finding ways to come to a new sense of your value, what you really want, where to put your energy, and finding ways to be more connected to the spirit within you, because the spirit within you will guide you to the next appropriate situation. So it is really learning to work with that more tangibly and learning to trust it.
So even if we haven't had a huge loss, it's still an extremely valuable shift of our consciousness to go into that, isn't it?
Let me comment on that for a moment. It is not about whether each person has had a large loss. When something is on the news 24/7, and it affects more than your community, more than your country, when it is global, then it gets people's attention. So, and that is a positive thing, because within each person, there is at a DNA level a host of patterns that a person carries that will relate to things like value and self-worth and self-love and whether they have enough. And in each person's background as well, you can be sure there are at least some of the ancestors who lived through a depression, a famine, a war, perhaps lost everything they had. So even if a person in the current time makes a very good living, has real no issue with the meltdown on a personal level, these kinds of things can get triggered, can be catalyzed during this reconfiguration. And why would that be positive? Well, it would be positive because for all of us on the accelerated path of awakening that are here at the forefront, a part of the reason we are here is to greatly accelerate our own evolution. And how one does that is by clearing more of one's past. And so to have it come up in your energy field when it perhaps might not have come up even in this lifetime, to come up and allow you to clear it, that is a blessing. So I say welcome it and address it as it comes up.
So CNN is serving us after all.
Very much so.
So what about the swine flu? What is that telling us?
That is one of the examples, there are many, of the hysteria and the fear that can take hold within people and within groups, sometimes within whole countries. And there are many of these things that will be coming into our awareness during these decades. So a part of the way you want to look at that, you want to really develop for yourself, each person, some tools for discernment. And those are developed over time and through many experiences. But there are a number of things that you can do to become more discerning of what is there. And that is important because you do not want to put your head in the sand and say no more CNN or no more news. That actually is counterproductive.
I've done that sometimes.
Some people are doing that. Some people are saying they want to move to a small town somewhere without a television. That really is not in the highest for any of us. We've all had our living on a mountaintop as a monk, those kinds of lifetimes. These are not those times. We are meant to be wherever we have placed ourselves now, to be of service to ourselves and others.
Isn't there a danger of just absorbing the fear or having our brain patterns being run by all that?
Well, so to conclude that thought, we do not want to be in the extremes of either putting the head in the sand or the fantasy. And there are many in fantasy, you know.
Yes.
There are many who really say, this credit card and bank situation is nothing. I will not be concerned about that because it will all be wiped out and I will not have to pay back anyone I owe. Or there are many, many fantasies that are floating around. You see some of them on the internet, different places. So that's why I really emphasize discernment. Because we really need to have a middle path in order to move through these times with sanity and with any sense of calm.
You work with the DNA, moving back to that, it would be wonderful for people to know how to shift their DNA and how to release from the DNA. Can you give us...
Let me speak with you about the DNA for a moment.
Sure, thanks.
The DNA is like our own mini Akashic records. It is recorded in every cell of our bodies. And the DNA, it is like the building blocks of who we are at every level, including physical and spiritual. And it actually has written within it our divinity. And you can learn to read the DNA. You can learn to understand your own DNA. And in the course of that, you can have a sense of your past, more about your present and your future, all of your spiritual progression, all of the things that your soul knows, it is all there, as well as many physical things that if you knew about it, if you knew about what was encoded in there, even before you were to get a certain disease or have a symptoms of a disease, you could do something about it. And so this is a bit more advanced than the gene testing and those kinds of things they are doing now. Some of those, it's estimated, may not really benefit the general public for another 10, 20 years. What we are talking about here is the kind of work I do. I go in and I can read the energy around someone's DNA. There is a field around the DNA and I'm able to read that. And it will show us things in response to what the person has come to me for. And it's rather unlimited, the kinds of things that might be. So what we do is an energetic form of spiritual healing where we go in and, first of all, read what is there that is causing disruption, what is causing imbalance, what is causing pain and suffering. And we get a sense of the root of it. For example, it may be something that started six lifetimes ago. It may be something not from that person's past, but from their lineage, from their bloodline. It might be from their family's line several generations ago. So we will see the root of it, what it comes from, and then we will actually clear it out of that person at a DNA level. And from my experience working with many different kinds of healing since the 80s, that is the most profound in terms of making true changes, because we are making the changes at the source of where it's recorded and we are putting something new in there. So it's actually very amazing, and that's why I like working with it so much, is because of the shifts that we can have and to really accelerate our path. So I'm really excited to be working with the DNA.
What do you put in there?
It depends on what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, to describe it more, it is a way to clear your past and even do advanced clearing before the past is in your face, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
For example, someone could come to me and say, you know, in my family, everyone so far has died before the age of 50 of a heart attack. And perhaps they have no symptoms. Their heart is fine, but they are in their 40s and they're concerned. So we will do some work and we will get a sense of what is going on within them, including at a genetic level that they carried on from their family. And we can go in and change those things. at a DNA level.
Hmm. Does it ever work when people are already afflicted?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to go...
It's one of the few things that I've found that actually makes the changes in a way you do not have to keep repeating them.
Is it part of, for example, I want to ask a question like this, like what is, and I've heard this from others, of course, but it's different for everyone, but I was wondering, what is the role of humanity coming to this planet? Do you think we all come in and then go through many lifetimes? Do you think some of us just come for a short period of time? What is the dharma or the goal of even the collective here? Do you have anything to say about that?
All right, let me speak about the role of us as individuals and the path of our souls.
Thank you.
First of all, we have had many cycles on this planet, all of us. And most of us do not really come from this planet, but it's not about where we come from. We are eternal beings. The most important thing in any moment, in any existence we have, is where we are right then, being really present with where we are right then. So, as someone is doing that now, what they would really want to know is, first of all, they have been here many, many times. They have a multidimensional consciousness and many abilities and skills they do not remember. Most people have forgotten how to access truth. They have learned to be hypnotized by their own fear, by the media, and by their own conditioning. The conditioning is over millennia, and it is in the DNA. So we've learned to be in fear. We've learned this. That is not who we are. Our true nature is divine. We come into different experiences, different worlds, depending on where our consciousness is. And there are realms of existence that we go to have experiences, and that are in alignment. We are rather magnetized to those realms based on our consciousness. That's why consciousness is everything.
When you say realms of existence, do you mean?
Realms of existence. It is like dimensions of existence. All right, so the key thing for all of us now, it is not so much understanding the big plan of why you would choose to come to a planet. It is really understanding, number one, that you are divine. We need to remember who we are, and that is who we are. We are divine. We need to take our power back, because most people are training is to give our power away from a very early age. And we need to know that we are the divine change makers. What does that mean? That means we are the ones here making the changes. We've chosen to walk the path of awakening consciousness, this life. Anyone listening to this broadcast, that is what they have chosen. And with that choice comes a responsibility.
So we're saying, when we say take our power back, we mean just from the limiting forces of convention and experience? Is that what we mean?
Our own power we've given away.
Mm-hmm. To fear?
Yes. We've forgotten our true source of power. We've forgotten that we even have power sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, on our planet, and this is over a long period of conditioning, people have learned to look to outside sources for answers, for validation, for love. It's all backwards. All those things are within us. And the big thing about the paradigm shift in 2012 is that people are waking up to these truths. People are beginning to remember and part of the challenge right now is, it's a challenge but also a blessing. The idea that everything is in the news so much, and even all these movies are being made, even though most of them, I think, are very fear-based about the change and about 2012. But the really important thing to know right now is that our efforts, yours, mine, all of the divine change makers, our efforts in our spiritual evolution over a really long period of time have taken us, in fact, into the 2012 energies already. We're there now.
Hmm.
And so with that, we're facing a multitude of crossroads on the planet and as individuals. 2012 is not nirvana. It is the crossroads. It's choices. And it is really up to us. We're at that place where decisions need to be made. And it's us making the decisions, how we want to live, how we want to relate to one another, how we're going to access and use our power. And we really can't wait for a specific date to do this.
No.
It is important to do it now. And so a lot of people, what is happening is they are beginning to have remembrances of some earlier time periods, whether consciously or perhaps they go to a psychic or something, and they're starting to remember about perhaps being in Lemuria, perhaps Atlantis. And in some of those times, we had not forgotten as much as we have forgotten now. And so the thing is, humans haven't always been in the amount of density we are right now, and that's part of the situation of the cycles. Is there tends to be these cycles where we forget, and then we remember some, and then we forget, and then before a huge shift, there is a real big forgetting. All right, and that is what happened to almost everyone who has come in now. So it's changing a little bit with the younger generation, the ones just being born in the last 10 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
But even with a lot of them, they have blinders on too. So that's the thing. And in today's modern times, especially since the 80s, more of us are remembering what the truth is, right?
Yes.
And however, for many, the remembering is spotty and it needs to be filled in.
Is it just a natural unfoldment in the species? I mean, like cycling through us, or is it something that's being promoted?
It's
by?
It's a natural, it's a part of our natural, there's this divine urge in us for awakening. And sometimes there's more of a catalyst for that becoming active, and there are more people around us. And one of the benefits, I know a lot of people say, well, it's very crowded everywhere, there's no parking spaces, there's more and more people. Well, think of the positive of the fact that when you have this many people on a planet at once, and this is actually the most we've had for any of the shifts in the past, the potential for actually changing things is actually more significant. There's also more of the polarity feeling because there are more people and there's more media. It's a 24/7. You even go into a bank. You're waiting in line at a bank and there's the TV on.
Right. So we have social networking everywhere, even with the universe.
Right, that too. So it was not like that any other time where we were that connected. And so that's the thing. We really want to be aware that there are benefits to some of these things that people are complaining about. And
but, you know, people feel very alone these days a lot of times, don't they? People feel isolated and disconnected in many ways.
That's true. That's true. And it is really vital right now that we have community. And what I say to people is it is really up to us to create these sources of community. And I recommend getting creative with it. There are lots of options, the social media. Like, I have a Facebook page. I'm on Twitter. I have a website, Silesia.com. And, you know, a lot of people, they talk about community, wanting changes, but then they don't really get involved and they complain nothing is happening.
Well, there's something else that's interesting is in my work and in my own personal life, I've noticed that when people are unfolding, are waking up, and are changing. There's sort of an erratic kind of expression litany that people seem to go through, and it makes it a little more sensitive and a little more difficult to, at times, to harmonize with other people who are also going through this rambunctious unfoldment. Have you noticed that?
That's part of the times, definitely. And one of the benefits of that is it helps us to learn deeper levels of compassion and understanding.
Of compassion, yeah, you're right. You're very right there. But I think it doesn't hurt to speak it out loud, because then people might have a little more patience.
No, that's important, because everyone's there sometimes. And the other thing, there are moments when a person will either wake up or halfway through a day, they get those symptoms like the spiritual flu or all of a sudden just wanting to be alone. And, you know, that's part of these times, too. It's really honoring what your body and your beingness tell you and really paying attention to that. Sometimes it is your inner self telling you to take a time out, get away from your cell phone, get away from all of your devices, and take a walk down on the beach.
Right.
You know, sometimes it is as though the spirit within you will catalyze a sort of an overwhelming feeling of sleepiness. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you want to take a nap. There's no reason for the nap. You had 8 hours sleep. And quite often in my experience, that's my downtime where I'm getting some work done.
Mm-hmm.
Like spirit is coming in and I'm getting some kind of healing, some kind of new insights. And, you know, if you fight it, it's really useless to fight it, in my experience. But if you fight it, not only would you not benefit from what was being catalyzed right then, but chances are you could be tired the rest of the afternoon. You know, whenever we go into resistance, we lose energy.
That's right.
So, now, I wouldn't say if you feel the wave of tiredness when you're on the freeway, so sleep right there.
I always drink water when I'm doing that.
But I'm just saying you want to really honor, and part of trusting in spirit won't do that to you. You know, your inner spirit is not going to, when you're in the fast lane of the freeway, say, well, let's take a nap now.
Yeah.
Hopefully. That won't be happening. But part of the remembering that people need to do, the reason I'm saying it's spotty and people, we don't remember everything. When we don't remember that our body and the physicality of our earth is divine, we're forgetting a lot.
We are, aren't we?
And what do I mean by that? There are a lot of people, I'm sure you've heard on the internet and so on, well, we can't wait to get off this planet.
I know. I've heard that. I've even said that years ago. I don't say it now.
I mean, the whole thing about being here in these kind of bodies is for us to bring the divine here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not separate. It's not out there somewhere. It's not on some other planet. It's here.
Well, there's another thing, too, which is that we are here collectively to do that collectively as well as individually, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
That fascinates me lately, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
how would you recommend? I mean, I'm fascinated by what you said about the DNA, and I sure agree with that. How do you recommend, outside of coming to your workshops, which I recommend to people that you look those up and look up salacia.com to see about that, or the Facebook, right? Your Facebook
app. And also the worldwide channelings that are offered. Anyone who has a telephone anywhere on the planet can either call in, or if they register, they will get the audio later anyway.
Oh, that's great.
And we do a very powerful evening of world and personal healing.
Yeah, and you have those listed. I think they're even...
Those are listed, yes. Yeah. I send out notices, anyone on my mailing list. They're not all on the website. There's pretty much, if you're on the mailing list and if you're on Facebook, you will know about those.
Wonderful. Well, you know, what occurred to me when you were talking about DNA is sometimes, you know, I'm an intuitive as well, and sometimes... All of a sudden what comes up is something really intense or dark or very karmic or very cellular. And I know people go through those things because we're intending and we're moving and we're making choices and so on. Can
right.
you give us some sort of simple in the now exercises to do to clear that so we don't carry it on?
Well, I can tell you some things. Not really the DNA work, because that's not really the purpose of this today. And I have actual in-depth weekend courses where people learn that. But I can give you a couple of things that people can begin doing right now. And keep in mind that pretty much everything you do, whether it's, you know, the patterns of your thoughts or what you're doing with your energy, everything affects our DNA, all right? So right. Let's say a person is really bound up in fear, okay?
Right.
All right, so I'm going to give you a couple of different things. First of all, if you start feeling fear, the number one thing, you want to identify the feeling. For example, is this anxiety, is this fear, you know, the many different emotions we can feel. And so one of the first parts of becoming conscious, and that includes conscious of our emotions, is, okay, what am I feeling in this moment?
Okay.
So the next part of that is, how much of what I'm feeling is really mine? And you will get an answer. You'll get a sense of it. You might even see a circle in the sky, and perhaps it's all lit up one color. Or you might see a circle where maybe half of it's lit up, and then if you realize it's not all yours, then ask some other questions. For example, is what I'm feeling connected in part to what someone in my life is feeling? Because quite often when we are close to people, when we care about people, we can sense what they're feeling. It doesn't mean there are feelings, but we are very telepathic beings, and as we become more and more multidimensional, we're going to feel things more. All of our senses are going to be open more. And so it's becoming really intelligent about that, really learning to manage our energy. So get a sense, okay, is it mine only? Is it someone else's I'm picking up? It doesn't mean you have it or you've taken it on. It just means I might be feeling what my sister's feeling or feeling what my best friend is feeling.
Because we are actually vibrationally connected.
Well, we're all
we?
Connected. We're connected with people all over the planet.
Right.
So that's the next question. How much am I feeling of what I'm feeling? Utter base of humanity, whether it's a certain part of the world, whether it's a certain group. Sometimes when there's a big natural disaster halfway across the world, I will feel it.
Yes, me too.
I will feel it strongly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's us becoming more conscious of these things. And then if any part of what you're feeling, even if it's your fear that gets triggered because of what is happening with someone else, you want to investigate how that's hooked up in you. All right, and that's kind of another process, but you can, at the very least, set your intention to get a sense of, well, what is it that's causing me to be so fearful?
Mm-hmm. And where is it in your body? Do you do that?
Many different things.
Yeah.
In your body, quite often it's things that you're thinking about, things, belief systems, and that's really more DNA work, but you'll start to get a sense, as you work with this, of really, if it's something that you really need to be that upset about, you know, it could be something you can address besides with fear, of course. Fear mm-hmm. doesn't solve anything. And then the next thing, say you've done this phase, then another tool that I suggest to people, and we do it in some of the group work that I offer to people worldwide, is a process that I was given by the Council of 12 called the Sacred Offering Up. And that's something you can do anywhere. You can do when you're driving, when you're at home in your living room. And the basic purpose of that is you are intentionally offering up to the divine, to spirit, any kind of discordant feelings that you are feeling. For example, it could be a fear, a doubt. It could even be apathy, boredom. That's actually a big obstacle in people's path. It could be grief. A lot of times it's anger.
Or resistance.
Yeah, whatever it is, you name it, and then you say, I now offer up to the divine, and you name whatever they are, and quite often I will say known and unknown. I will now offer up the anger, known and unknown. I ask that it be taken from my energy field, lifted up, transformed, alchemized into a positive energy that I can use for my evolution, and returned to me magnified. And you ask for that, and you, people can visualize it leaving them, being transformed and coming back into their field and feeling a sense of higher energy, higher vibration, and more peace.
I love that. That's powerful. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And even I've told people on their way to work, they're upset with the boss. Do that on the way in.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You want to go with a clean energy field. You want to arrive at work or wherever you're going with a clean energy field.
Well, and I want to throw two questions. I know we're coming near the end, but there are two things that many, many people bring up. But back to the swine flu thing, which is creating job threats for people, that vaccination situation. How do people deal with that? And the other thing is the schools are so dangerous for the kids sometimes emotionally and energetically. Do you have any comments to make on that?
Well, really quickly, I know we don't have a lot of time.
That's too bad. I'd love to keep chatting.
Well, we can talk again for sure if you like.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm.
So, about things like the swine flu, there are remedies that one can look at, and we don't really have time today to get into them, but if anyone would like to email me, I can give you things that you can ingest or do before taking a shot. Say you're mandated, say you work at a school and you have to take it. You can take that before. There are things you can take afterwards.
Thank you. That's important. Thank you.
So there are things like that. And then, you know, about the kids and about even the adult kids, understanding their place on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
I will be getting into that in detail in my book about 2012. I will have sections in there about understanding your place in the world, regardless of your age, how you can really feel like you fit in better, because that is an issue for many, many people. And I'm seeing it, of course, in the very young kids, but also in people of all ages are having challenges. And
well,
even people that felt they sort of fit in earlier, a lot of them are feeling less and less that they fit in.
Well, there's something also about the systems that are being, as you called it, transfiguring or being changed. The education system is kind of supports the old paradigm in many ways.
That is a key system that is in the process of being changed, yes.
Yeah. And so I guess
it's an example of the very punitive, the very controlling, fear-based, and
hurting people into the...
You're seeing some oppositional energy play out as it's in the process of being reconfigured. Really, the first sector of our society that has been addressed the most so far is the finances.
Okay.
And so as that settles down and in tandem with that, these others are also being addressed. And it's really how you can feel you have the most power here is to take steps yourself. Instead of the complaining, to really look at what can I do in my own life to make things better. And sometimes that's dealing with our own emotions, our own responses to the things we don't like. And there's many, many tools, including there's one tool we didn't really have time to talk about today, but that is the essential oils.
Well, you can talk about those for just a few minutes. We have two more minutes.
Oh, all right. All right. So the essential oils, these are our gifts from nature, the ones that I'm working with and have since the 90s. They can help us with everything from emotional upset, imbalances in our energy field. They can really help with the immune system so that I've seen a lot of people not even have to take antibiotics anymore. And before that, they were going and getting the antibiotics several times each winter.
Wonderful.
And so the essential oils, are really a wonderful complement to anyone's wellness program. And I use them in my healing. We introduce one oil at every channeling. And so the next one is December 5th. And We will be introducing one there. And I have a brand new Facebook page. This is like a separate Facebook from my Council of 12 Facebook. And the new one is called Exploring Living Fragrances with Salacia. And it's all about essential oils, the living fragrances, and how we can be healthier and happier.
And so you teach classes on how to use those?
Yes, I do.
Great. And so in your channelings, these are around the world. You can tune in from anywhere in the world?
Yes, yes. Anyone who has either a telephone or a Skype to landline can check in. And if for some reason a person cannot call because of the time difference or something, as long as they are pre-registered, they will get the audio recordings the next week and a lot of very helpful, energetic input and information from the council, not only the week before, but for a number of days afterwards.
And do you create your essences?
No, I do not.
Where do they come from?
They are from Young Living.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes.
I hear wonderful things about those.
They are really, they're very high vibration. And one thing I like about them is that they increase our energy levels and our vibrations so that if you have it at a high enough level, diseases cannot thrive.
Right.
They cannot take hold.
Well, having our vibration, being conscious about moving our vibration up is a great way to meet the unfolding frequencies of these times, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
And do you agree with the fact that, or at least I've heard and I sense, that all the planets are rising in frequency, not just ours and the universe?
Yes, we're all connected.
Yeah. It's very exciting, isn't it?
It is a wonderful time to be here.
It's a great
and
time.
And you know what? We have front row seats.
We sure do. Well, thank you so much. And would you please give your website one more time and a phone number if you like, or whatever contact number you want to put in.
I am Salacia. I'm at salacia.com. That's spelled S-E-L-A-C-I-A. And I'm in Santa Monica, California, but you can contact me anywhere in the world. The phone number is area code 310-915-2884. And email is salacia@salacia.com.
Well, I've very much enjoyed our time together, Salacia, and I'm also really grateful you gave us so much to help people make better choices and to really empower themselves in this time of, I think it's a time of authentication and individuation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Collectively, if that's not a paradox.
Yes. Right. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope that you'll come back on again, and we will talk again soon on Facebook.
All right. Thank you.
Take
care. Many blessings.
Many blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye.